Well, this morning, let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Mark. We thank God for this gathering this morning, that it is unto the Lord, as the Bible says, unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. And where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And we know he's in our midst this morning to do us good. He's in our midst this morning to bless us. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And he has the provision for every need that we have in our lives here this morning. Be it spiritual, be it emotional, be it physical, Jesus is our source of total supply, because he is the shepherd and we are the sheep of his pasture. But one thing he requires from us every time he comes is our faith. In Luke chapter 18, after Jesus told the parable of the widow woman and the unjust judge, he concluded by saying, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" There's only one thing Jesus is looking for. Every time you call him and he shows up, he's looking for faith. That's all. He needs faith to work for you, because he cannot do anything apart from faith. God himself, the Father, cannot help us apart from faith. Without faith, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible, impossible, impossible. And I tell you, when God says something is impossible, don't let us think we can have a way around it. Just stop right there and say, well, I can't do it without that which God says I need. So I have to get what God says I need, because it is impossible for me to please him without that. So I need to get faith from him. And then I can approach him with that faith, and I will be able to receive help from him in the time of need. So in Mark chapter 5, we see very clearly the kind of faith that Jesus approves of. And it is important, particularly at the beginning of a new year like this, for us to refine or fine-tune, if you like, our faith, to make sure that the kind of faith we are walking in is the type that will get results in our lives, the kind of faith that will bring to us the blessings that God wants us to have as his people. You see, God is the source. He has the provision in abundance. But for us to receive from him and from, you know, the reservoir, as it were, of the blessings that he has for us, we need faith. You see, without faith, we can't get anything from God. We need faith. We need faith. And like we said a short while ago, the faith we need is the faith we receive from Jesus himself. We cannot manufacture faith on our own. We have to receive it from Jesus. In other words, we have to get it from the Holy Scriptures, because Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word that was made flesh and came to dwell among us. And now everything in the Scriptures is about him. Jesus himself said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me." All of Scripture is about Jesus. In fact, the spirit of prophecy, Bible says, has to do with the testimony of Jesus. And if we don't, you know, look in the Scriptures to get our faith from there, then our faith is counterfeit faith. And counterfeit faith never gets results. And so this morning, we want to fine-tune our faith by looking into the Word of God and making sure that as we walk through this new year, we walk in the genuineness of faith that God wants us to walk in and live by, in order to always get the results that he has promised us as his people. Put your finger there in Mark chapter 5. Let us turn quickly to quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and let us see first and foremost what Bible says we should do. As Christians now, this is not talking to unbelievers. This is talking to Christians. And in most cases, we are the ones that actually deprive ourselves of the best that God wants us to have because we don't do what God says to do. We sometimes get a little bit too familiar, so to say, with God, and we begin to take things for granted, particularly in the Pentecostal circles. You know, we speak in tongues and we do all those things and we just think, well, yeah, we are right up there with God. But you see, humility tells us to always do things according to the word of God. Never get to the point where we think we are just up there with God. We can talk to him anytime and get him to do what we want him to do anytime because we are the children of God. We can even command him, like some people misinterpret scriptures and say, God says, command ye me. So they become God over God. They've forgotten that God is God. And he said, who shall you liken unto me? In other words, God is God. Jesus himself said a servant cannot be above his master. So he can't be commanding God. That's not what God was saying there when he put that scripture there. You know, we can take scripture out of context and run with the wrong doctrine. God demands humility. Bible says God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And if you are humble, you are not going to be commanding God. You are going to be saying, God, command you me. I'm your servant. You command me and I will do what you say. Not God, do what I say. May God have mercy on us. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Now, God is challenging us here to examine ourselves. We don't need anyone to examine us if we are really honest with ourselves and sincere in our hearts toward God. We will allow God to throw a searchlight upon our hearts every now and then to help us check up on ourselves to make sure that we are walking in the way that pleases him. It is very important to do self-examination very often. Because it's so easy to go in the wrong direction and you even know you have gone in the wrong direction. Because you are now thinking that because you speak in tongues and because you know a few scriptures, you have memorized some few scriptures, you are now up there, you can just, you know, tell God what to do and he will do them. No, no, no. Humility is something we must keep at all times. We have to do self-examination. How do we do the self-examination? By coming to the mirror, which is the word of God. You know how you look in the mirror naturally to make adjustments to yourself, maybe redo your hair, you know, redo whatever needs to be redone about your dressing before you leave the house. So God wants us to come to the mirror of his word, as Bible teaches us, as we behold him in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, as we behold him as in a mirror, we are changed into the same image as him, from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. In other words, we have to come to the mirror of the word, Jesus Christ himself. We have to allow the reflection of Jesus according to the scriptures to dawn upon our hearts and give us a personal, in-depth examination of ourselves in all honesty to say, well, I'm not doing it right as God wants me to do it. I need to change and begin to do it exactly as God says I should do it. And that's why it is important at the beginning of the year to make sure that we are doing the right thing when we talk about faith. By the help of the Holy Spirit, I believe we will all be able to fine-tune our faith walk again this morning and walk on the right road henceforth and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So we need to examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith. In other words, whether we are really walking in the faith of Jesus or, you know, walking in our own self-made faith. Let's turn also to 2 Timothy. You know, if Bible didn't speak about these things, then we would just get away with anything when we talk about faith. But because Bible is specific about how we should walk in faith, then we have to be careful and make sure that we do it exactly as God says to do it. Because see, faith is for our own benefit. We overcome everything that is in this world by our faith as Christians, because we receive, again, we receive the faith from Jesus who has already overcome the world. Remember, Jesus said in the world we are going to have troubles or tribulation. In John chapter 16 verse 33, he said in the world we are going to have troubles. We are going to have tribulations. But then we should be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. You see, he has overcome the world. So we need the faith of Jesus who has overcome the world in order for us to overcome the world in our own generation too. And that's why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Remember, it is born of God. That's talking about what has its origin from God. Jesus Christ coming to man, bringing faith to us, to use that faith to overcome the world just as he has already overcome the world for us. And now look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writing to Timothy here to encourage him. You know, I tell you, we all need encouragement from time to time. I don't know about anyone who would say they don't need to be encouraged. You see, we need to encourage one another. That's why we have to come to fellowship, because we can be encouraged together in the presence of the Lord as the Holy Spirit opens our eyes of understanding to the truth, which actually ministers encouragement to us in the inward part. And that was what Paul was doing here to Timothy. Obviously, Timothy was going through some challenging situations in the course of his duty as a Christian and as a minister. And Paul was writing to encourage him to, you know, stir up the Holy Ghost that is in him and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen him in his weaknesses and give him the upper hand over all those challenges. But look at what is said to him here to start with. You see, that's where it begins from. If we don't get this faith from Jesus, and if we don't use that faith that Jesus has brought for us, there is no way we can overcome any challenge that comes our way in this life. Verse 5, it says there, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Please underline your Bible the word unfeigned. Paul is not talking about just any faith here. No. That's where we run into problems as Christians. We just come up with so many idea of faith. Some of us, you know, just have so many philosophy about what faith is. So much philosophy. And then you find someone may come up and tell you, well, there are 30 steps to faith. Then another person will say there are 50 steps to faith. Well, God is not the author of confusion. How can God be saying different things like that? The problem is we are trying to come up with our own understanding of faith. Instead of going to God and getting his own understanding, which is the only understanding that will work for us. And so we have so many teachings on faith and so many confusion about faith, to the point that a lot of people will try to walk by faith and then give up and then say, well, this faith business doesn't work. Well, they were never in faith, because the faith of God never fails. God cannot fail. If any faith fails, then that faith is not from Jesus. It is man-made. It is man's attempt to try to believe God, rather than going to God and getting the spirit of faith from God, and allowing God to walk in that person, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If God doesn't do the work in us and through us, then that work is no work of God at all. God has to be the one, so that he alone may get the glory. Even Jesus, while he was here on earth, he said, the works that I do, it is not I that do them, but the Father in me does the work. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, that was born of the Spirit of God, said he was not the one doing the works. Then how do you think you and I can do the work? That's where we run into problems, you know. And then we get frustrated without knowing that we are the ones falling short of the standard that God wants us to live by as his people. That's why it's good to do a self-examination and get ourselves back to the simplicity. There are no many steps to faith. It's just one step. Say to your neighbor, there's only one step to faith. And that step is called Jesus Christ. Amen. So don't complicate it for yourself. There's only one step to faith, and that's Jesus. That's all. Faith begins and ends with Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Not 20 steps, not 30 steps, just one step. Step into Jesus, and you are in faith. Just step into Jesus in that situation, and you get the victory. Because Jesus cannot fail. Forget about philosophy. Forget about all those enticing words of human wisdom. Then so many people go and spend so much money buying books about 30 steps to faith and 100 steps to this and 1 million steps to that. And at the end of the day, they are confused. I let them buy themselves a good Bible, a good study Bible, and sit down with it, and they will step into faith and step into victory. Because when you step into Jesus, you have victory always. You cannot fail, because Jesus cannot fail. So Paul spoke about unfeigned faith. The word unfeigned there literally means sincere and without hypocrisy. That means it is possible to have a faith that is not sincere. It is possible to walk in faith with hypocrisy. Hypocrisy literally means saying something when you really mean another thing. And many of us as Christians, that's what we are doing. What we say out of our mouth does not really match what is in our heart. And we say we are in faith. So I believe God. I believe God that no evil shall befall me. And then you are afraid of your shadow. I mean, that's not faith. Oh, I believe God that when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. But then you are afraid to put out the light in your room. you can't even sleep without the light. But then you confess, when I walk through the valley of the shadow, I'll fear no evil. But you are full of fear. You fear even the dark. You see, that's hypocrisy. Without us knowing. That is not the kind of faith that God wants us to walk in. The kind of faith that God wants us to walk in is faith that has full persuasion. We are fully persuaded. There is no room for doubt. We are fully 100% certain that what God said he will do, he will do. And there is only one way to get to that kind of full persuasion. It is by relying on Jesus and Jesus alone. None of self. all love Jesus. And that's where, why at the end of the day, none of us can boast about anything when it comes to the Christian faith. It is not of our human works, lest any man should boast, Bible says. It is all about Jesus and our reliance on him absolutely. We settle that in our hearts once and for all. That if Jesus doesn't help me, I can't help myself. I rely on him. Someone says, how about if it fails? No, it can't fail because Jesus can fail. That's the key. Because the devil will try to talk you out of the genuine kind of faith and lead you into counterfeit faith. Because he knows that when you have the counterfeit, you cannot get results that God wants you to have. So we need to live by what the Bible calls unfeigned faith. And that is the faith that is fully persuaded on Jesus and Jesus alone. None of self. All of Jesus. Now let us turn back to Mark chapter 5. And then we'll see this woman walking in this kind of faith and Jesus commending her. And we find many other examples in the Bible of people who came to Jesus and they walked in the kind of faith that pleased God. And Jesus commends their faith. And yet so many so-called, you know, servants or ministers of God in the days of Jesus could not even walk in this kind of faith. They had their own idea of faith, but God was not accepting that. And they did not even understand because they were ignorant of the genuineness of faith that God demands from us. God does not deal in counterfeits. God is a perfect God. And everything that has its origin from him is perfect. So faith is perfect. Genuine Christian faith is perfect. And that's why the Bible says it makes us whole. Faith will always make us whole. It's as simple as that. To be whole means to be sound. Sound in every sense of the word. Sound spiritually. Sound emotionally. Sound physically. Sound on every side. And the faith of Jesus is the key. But we have to understand it. And learn to apply it to our lives daily. Because the just shall live by faith. Now, we all know the account very well. This woman with the issue of blood. From verse 25, Mark chapter 5. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians. And had spent all that she had. And was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Now look at the situation with this woman. You know, don't let us just quickly rush over scriptures like this. Let us meditate in them. And allow the Holy Spirit to help us see what will help us in our own walk of faith so that we can actually please Jesus with our faith just as this woman pleased Jesus with her faith. Because the background to that woman's coming to Jesus was such a background that many of us today would have been discouraged. Many of us would not even want to have anything to do with Jesus because we would have been discouraged, would have become so bitter, would have become so angry with all the doctors that have taken our money and could not help us. We've wasted all the money trying to get better and they've just messed us up some more because that woman's condition did not improve. Her condition actually went from bad to worse and yet the doctors took money from her. You see, that's the way the world is. That's the way the world is. Things are not fair in the world because the system of the world is ruled by the devil. He's not a fair devil. Look at a woman. I mean, I thought those doctors should have been honest enough to say, woman, we don't really know what to do with you. We don't have a solution to your problem. So don't pay us anything. Don't waste your money. Because we can't help you. But you see, they kept taking her money. And they really couldn't help her, but they kept taking her money. Adding insult to injury for her. But thank God the woman had the right attitude. You see, if you are going to walk by faith, you need a right attitude in your heart. Because faith has to be sincere from the heart. If the heart is already full of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, you can't walk in the God kind of faith. Because Jesus doesn't operate in that kind of heart. When the heart is bitter, Bible actually warns us about the root of bitterness that is going to cause defilement. Jesus is holy Jesus. And the Spirit of Jesus in you is Holy Spirit. And God the Father is Holy Father. And He says, be you holy as I am holy. And many of us as Christians, actually, where we should change ourselves is because of the garbage that we have in our heart. The unforgiveness, the bitterness, the anger are those we think have dealt us the wrong deal in life. And so we bottle those things up on the inside and we want to walk in faith to get blessings from God. It doesn't work. Remember? The very first sermon Jesus preached on the mount, and then it continued after those men, blessed are these, blessed are that, blessed are those, and it continued to teach about the ways of the kingdom. One of the things he said is this, you know, when you come to the altar to offer a gift to God, and then you remember that you have something against somebody, He said, just leave the gift there at the altar. Don't bother offering it. Why? Because God won't accept it from you. Go first and make up with that person that you have an issue with. And then after that, then you can come and offer your gift. But you know, for us as Christians, we don't see anything wrong with that. Well, you know, you say, I can't forgive those ones. How can I forgive them? You know, they dealt me bad deal. They are the ones that are wrong. I'm right. I can't forgive them. Then I come to God. Oh, God, bless me today. Hallelujah. You are my God. You are my Father. God says, rubbish, rubbish, rubbish song, rubbish singing. You are drawing near unto me with your lips and honoring me with your mouth and tongue. But your heart is far from me. In vain you are worshiping me. I'm not even accepting that song from you because your heart is not pure. There is no sincerity in your heart where I'm concerned because you are not living by my word. Why are you not obeying me? Why are you doing your own thing? Why are you calling me Lord and then you don't obey me? Did I not say don't bother offering anything to me? First of all, go sort out that issue so that your heart will come with purity and openness without any defilement when you come to worship me. But then we don't see anything wrong with that. And then we say we are walking by faith. No, that is not genuine faith. That is not the kind of faith the Bible says we should walk in. That is actually hypocritical faith. Because those who have the faith of Jesus walk like Jesus walked. You see? That's what Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 2 verse 6. He that says he abides in Jesus ought himself so to walk even as he walked. Say to your neighbor, the Christian calling is a high calling. Let us get serious because we are living in the days when Jesus Christ wants to fill us with His glory more than ever before. But He needs the house to be clean. And we are the house of God, the temples of the living God. Amen. Praise God. So, again, that is very, very important to ensure that our hearts are pure. So this woman had the right attitude. She had been through so many things. She should have been discouraged. She had every right, so to say in quotes, to be angry with all those who have really taken her money without helping her. But she did not do that. Now look at verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch the if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Huh? What gave this woman this kind of full persuasion? Notice here, she's not saying, if I may touch but his clothes, maybe I'll be made whole. Remember, for 12 years she's been in the condition. For 12 years she has been to so many doctors. For 12 years she has spent all her livelihood. She should not be so 100% certain. Ideally, she should probably say, well, let me just go and try that one. Maybe it will just be like one of the others. Maybe. Let me just try. I'm not sure because all the others couldn't help me too. Maybe. Let me just see. Maybe it's 50-50 chance with this one too. Let's try. But this woman is not trying Jesus. She's not trying to see whether Jesus could help her. She's certain. She's 100% sure because she said, I shall. I shall be made whole. I shall be made whole. Not I may be made whole. I shall be made whole. I am sure that I shall be made whole. So what gave this woman this kind of full persuasion? Obviously, this woman knew that Jesus, the Messiah, is the solution to her problem. And she's looking away from herself. She's looking away from all the GPs and all the physicians that had failed her. She had finally found the solution, Jesus. And Jesus cannot fail. Where all the other GPs failed, he cannot fail. So I'm going to get my healing. Praise God, Jesus cannot fail me. That's the attitude of this woman. That's the attitude of this woman. Her heart is pure, sincere. She's not bothered by all those that have wronged her, taking all her money without really helping her. Now she has found the Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one that will come with healing in his wings, the one that will restore everything. And he will restore my health. Therefore, all I need to do is get close enough to him. And I know this 12-year problem will vanish because Jesus is the healer. Doesn't matter how long it's been. This Jesus is the healer. There's no problem you and I have, no matter how long it has been in our lives, that Jesus will not take care of. Because he already did so on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Never shut God out of any circumstance in your life. Don't limit God. No matter what people may say. You know, some people, even some so-called well-meaning Christians, will try to discourage you. You better get encouragement from God for yourself. Don't listen to some unbelieving believers. So, you know, and you're such a nice person, you know. But, you know, sometimes, you know, these things happen in life. You just have to, you know. Oh, I'm so sorry for you, you know. No. Don't feel sorry for me, please. Pray for me. Don't feel sorry for me. Pray for me that my faith will not fail. That's all I need from you. Don't feel sorry for me. Pray for me that my faith will not fail. That was what Jesus did for Peter. He prayed for the faith of Peter that his faith will not fail. Why? Because faith will make you whole. If your faith doesn't fail, I guarantee you, you will be whole of your condition. You wake up one morning and that situation is history forever in your life. Because Jesus makes us whole. He is our healer. And so the woman, when he heard about Jesus, was fully persuaded that she would be healed of her condition. And then, verse 29 says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? In other words, Jesus, what kind of question are you asking us? There are thousands of people all around you, pressing upon you. So many people are touching you at the same time. How do you want us to be able to tell you who amongst them really touched you? There are many people touching you, Jesus. You see, but they didn't understand that Jesus is not talking about physical touch now, even though the woman touched him physically. Jesus is talking about the kind of touch that has pleased the Father in heaven and had made the anointing to flow out of his body to minister to somebody in this congregation. See, that's the key. Because Jesus knew that somebody had faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So for virtue, because Jesus knew power went out of him. So there is somebody with faith that has touched me. That's why the Father in heaven who sent me is pleased, because he's the one that does the work in me. So the Father is pleased with somebody in this congregation that are touching me. Somebody has touched me with a touch that pleased the Father in heaven, and the Father who works in me has released his power to bless somebody. The disciples didn't understand that. But the woman also knew that power came into her, and she was shaking. And she said to Jesus, it is I that touched you. Now, why didn't the woman? Now notice, you see, that's why we have to really look at the scripture closely. Why didn't the woman talk like the disciples of Jesus talk? Why didn't she say to Jesus, well, I don't know, but many people are touching you just like I touched you. Why did the woman say, it is me, and yet many people are touching Jesus? And the woman says, it is I. Because number one, she knew she had faith in Jesus. Number two, she knew that something came from Jesus into her. The others who are touching Jesus never felt any power because they never had faith in him. And look at what Jesus concluded. That's where we are going this morning. Verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Notice, Jesus didn't say, daughter or woman, the virtue that went out of me has made you whole. But we know Jesus felt virtue, power, anointing going out of him, and the woman felt the anointing entering into her. But Jesus never said, woman, my anointing has made you whole. You know how it is? In our days, so many people run after the anointing up and down, looking for the anointing, and so many people have been fooled, so to say. And so many people have allowed fake ministers to make merchandise of them because they are running after the anointing. Instead of sitting down to develop faith that will make them whole. Jesus did not commend the anointing because Jesus knew that the anointing cannot work without faith. So there is no point running after the anointing. All you need to do is develop your faith. The anointing will connect you with the blessing of God, because the anointing is always looking for faith to work. It's as simple as that. Jesus said, woman or daughter, your faith made you whole. not my anointing. Even though we know the anointing actually removed the sickness from her, but Jesus is commending what made it possible for the power of God to work. Say to your neighbor, what makes it possible for God's power to work for you is your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's why Jesus is commending the faith of the woman. Because that was what made the power to work. Faith is the key to getting the power of God to work for us. Power cannot work without faith. Because God cannot be pleased without faith. And if anybody tells you, just come to me, I'm a special apostle, or special prophet, or special evangelist, all you need is just come to me and let me lay my hand on you, and all your problems will be gone. You better run from that person. Because that's not a minister of Jesus. A minister of Jesus will point you to Jesus. A minister of Jesus will first of all tell you you need the word of God so that you can have faith to receive the anointing of God to break the yoke in your life and remove the burden and give you liberty, because the anointing only works with your faith. And they will show you in the scripture. They will not get you to look at them as the one to minister the blessing to you. They will get you to look to Jesus. If any man gets you to look at him, that is not a servant of Jesus. That man is serving himself. Or even serving the devil. That's why we need to get back to the scriptures. Jesus commended the faith of the woman. Now let us get our pen and paper and just write down what we see with the faith of this woman that pleased Jesus. Three basic things we see here, and those are the three basic things you and I need to do at all times to get our faith to be the genuine faith that pleases God. Number one thing, I'll give you some other scriptures apart from the one that we have here. Please meditate in them. Number one thing is that genuine faith hears of Jesus only. Again, here in Mark chapter 5, verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus. That's where the faith began from. She didn't just come up with faith to say, well, I know I shall be made whole. Like many of us, you know, even as Christians, say, oh, I believe I'm going to have the breakthrough in this situation. And then you ask the person, what is the basis of your belief? What scripture are you standing on? They can't even tell you any scripture. Then you tell them, but then, where is the faith now? You are trying to have the faith on your own. You are not receiving it from Jesus. You have to hear from Jesus first before you can have faith to believe him for that thing. So if you haven't heard from Jesus, you don't have the faith of Jesus. So the first thing was that the woman heard of Jesus. And what she heard of Jesus built faith in her that is the Messiah. That is the Messiah. That is the one. That is the one that I need. So you have to hear of Jesus. First and foremost, if you want to walk in the genuine faith that will get result for your life, you need to hear of Jesus and Jesus only. Don't hear of anything else. Don't hear of any man. Don't hear of any minister. Don't hear of any ministry. No, forget about the name of the ministry. Forget about the name of the minister. Forget about the name of the organization. Focus on Jesus. Just hear of Jesus and Jesus alone. Because when you hear of Jesus and hear of something else, you have double mind. And a double-minded person cannot receive anything from God. So many of us today as Christians, all we are focused on is the name of the ministry and the minister. The so-called big minister. The so-called big ministry. No, that's not where you are going to get your blessing from. Your faith doesn't come from those things. Your faith comes from Jesus. Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. So the woman heard of Jesus, and that was all. She heard of Jesus. And she allowed what she heard concerning Jesus to build faith in her. So, in front of that, so the first thing about genuine faith is that it is of Jesus alone. Jesus only. And Jesus is the Word of God. Okay? Alright, so Mark chapter 5 verse 27. Also, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Please look that up on your own. It's a scripture that we all know. You know, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13. Their Bible tells us that Jesus has a name called the Word of God. So how are you going to hear of Jesus? Get into the scriptures. You hear of Jesus in the Holy Scriptures. You hear Jesus speaking to you through the pages of the Bible. And then you'll be able to respond in faith to the voice of the Word of God in your heart. And also Romans chapter 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now complete that statement, because we see here that the woman didn't just hear of Jesus, she heard of Jesus with an attitude that actually made her to respond to Jesus Christ with full persuasion. So the Bible calls that the hearing of faith. You know, many of us hear the gospel of Jesus, but we don't allow that hearing that we've heard about the gospel of Jesus to actually create in us a response or an attitude of full persuasion in Jesus himself. And that is why many of us as Christians, we are not even certain that Jesus will help us in our situation. And if you are not certain, you are not in faith, according to God's word. Because the faith of God is full persuasion, 100% certainty. Faith, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, the assurance of what you hope for. You are sure. You are not trying to see. You are sure. You say with confidence, like the woman said, I shall be whole. I'm not saying maybe. I know 100% that I shall be whole. Because this sickness that you see in my body today, soon and very soon, you shall see it no more forever. That's how faith talks. Fully persuaded. Because it's not relying on itself. It's relying on Jesus. And he knows Jesus cannot fail. So, faith, genuine faith, hears only of Jesus, the Word of God, and please complete it by saying, with the hearing that produces an attitude of faith. And in front of that second part of the statement, write the scriptures, Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 and 5. Their Bible tells us that that's the way God works for us, by His Spirit. You know, and ministers to us the miracles that we need, the healing. You know, we want miracles from God. But the way He ministers those miracles to us, the way He performs those miracles for us, is by the hearing of faith. In other words, the kind of hearing of the word that produces an attitude of faith in us. That's what it means by the hearing of faith. Hearing that leads to the genuine kind of faith in Jesus Christ as our healer, our deliverer, our way maker, our all in all. So we have to hear with that kind of hearing. You know, that is similar to what, you know, David said in Psalm 62. Remember how he said, God has spoken once, but twice have I heard this. How can you hear twice what God speaks once? Well, you know, many of us, we don't hear twice the word of God. That's where we run into counterfeit faith. You know, when you hear, just like you hear me preaching right now, you know what? What you are doing is you are hearing with the first hearing, which is your natural ears. And then your mind can interpret what I'm saying. And your soul can receive that. But then, you have to go home like the Berean Christians and hear what you have heard in the service again. How? By meditating in the Word of God. The second hearing is what Jesus also describes in Revelation. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. In other words, the hearing of the Spirit. The first hearing is the natural hearing. The second hearing is the hearing with the ears of your spirit. And that only happens when you really meditate in the Word of God. For instance, the Word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. Well, I can memorize that and quote it all day long and still not get any healing. Because I've memorized it, my soul understands that, but my spirit has not received the root of that scripture that would then spring forth in me to produce the healing. And I have to go back and start meditating in that. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. What does that mean? By the stripes of Jesus. What stripes is he talking about? How did Jesus get the stripes? Where did it become a source of healing for me? You see? So what am I doing now? I'm trying to hear that word with the hearing of the Spirit. In other words, the understanding, the spiritual understanding. Turn with me quickly to Colossians. You see, don't just memorize scriptures. And you see, that's why you find many people, I don't know about you, I've met many Christians who quote scriptures. But then they don't live by what they quote. They can quote that scripture exactly as it is in the Bible. But then they don't do it. Well, you know the problem? They've only heard with the first hearing, which is natural hearing and memorizing with the mind. But they need to go meditate and let the Holy Spirit deposit within their spirit the revelation of what they are quoting. Because when that revelation hits you on the inside, you will become a doer of that word. It's as simple as that. So you have to hear with the second hearing, which is the hearing of the Spirit that leads to genuine faith. Now, Paul prayed for them here, verse 9, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, that's the key. We have to have spiritual understanding of the Word of God. Because the first hearing is the natural understanding. We hear with our natural ears, and it enters into our soul. Our mind, our reasoning is stirred up by what we heard. That's why, you know, you can go to a service, hear a good preaching, get excited in your soul, but after a few days, you've forgotten it. Because you've not gone back to hear what you heard that excited you in the soul, to hear it now with the Spirit, which is the second hearing. The hearing of the Spirit that will actually lead you to the attitude of faith, where you then become a doer of that word. That's the key. And that's why, you know, it's not enough to just read the Bible and memorize it. You have to study it day and night and allow the Holy Spirit to bring you the spiritual understanding, which is actually the necessity for you to live by faith in that which you have heard. That was what happened to that woman. And that was why she was 100% certain that if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall. I'm 100% sure I will be made whole. So say to your neighbor, you have to meditate in the Word of God. You have to study it day and night, so that you can hear it again and again with the ears of your spirit. Amen. Also, Luke chapter 18, the hearing of faith. Luke chapter 18, we don't need to turn there, verses 36 to 38. We all know the account in the Bible of blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. How he sat by, you know, that road there in Jericho. He couldn't see, but he had a lot of noise and commotion. So he asked, so what's all that noise about? What's it all about? And then they told him, is Jesus, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That is passing. Ah! Blind Bartimaeus, even though he couldn't see Jesus. Ah! That's the one, that's the Messiah. That's my own paraphrase. Ah! That's the Messiah. Hey, praise God. He's passing by here today. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. How do we know that blind Bartimaeus wasn't just speaking from his soul? He was speaking from his spirit. Well, when the people told him, even the disciples of Jesus, they told blind Bartimaeus, they told him, blind Bartimaeus, shut up! You're making too much noise. Don't disturb the master. He doesn't have time for people like you. All what you just need is some coins in your plate. Just take some coins and keep quiet. And leave the master alone. He doesn't have time for people. Ah, blind Bartimaeus didn't even mind them. Bible says he shouted even them all. Why? Because when you are in faith, you know what? Nothing can silence the voice of faith. The voice of faith in you cannot be silenced by anything, because it is Jesus speaking up on the inside of you. Nobody can shut down faith in you. No devil can shut down faith in you. Actually, your faith shuts out the devil. It's a shield against the devil. Didn't Jesus ask that they should bring him? And the man got his sight back. Why? Because he had the attitude of faith. The attitude of faith doesn't give up. Another example we find in Luke chapter 5 from verse 17. Remember how those friends brought their paralyzed friend, and Bible says they couldn't find a way to get in. They couldn't come in through the door. They couldn't come in through the window. But you see, genuine faith doesn't give up. Some of us would have turned back and gone home and said, we'll try another day. After all, God will know I tried my best. I tried to enter, but there's no way to enter. But genuine faith never gives up. So the Holy Spirit gave them wisdom, you see. When you are in faith, there is spiritual wisdom and understanding. You do things that your mind can never, ever get you to do, because you are operating with a wisdom that is higher than your mind. How did they know that they could go on top of the roof? How did they even get there? Because it was a risky thing to climb with a paralyzed man carrying his pallet. All of them could fall down and break their necks. But you see, when the Holy Spirit takes over on the inside of you, because God is pleased with your attitude of faith, He will help you every step of the way to get to Jesus. Nothing can stop you. And they got to Jesus. And their friend got his healing. Because faith never gives up. Genuine faith never gives up. Say to your neighbor, the genuine faith never gives up. Because it only has one outcome. And that is victory in every situation. So that's the outcome. So that's why it never gives up. The second thing we see with the faith of this woman that Jesus commended was that genuine faith speaks. You see, the woman spoke when she heard. See, when you hear, you have to speak positively. Don't speak negatively. You know, we are snared by the words of our mouth. For instance, when you have sickness in your body, don't spend all day talking about the sickness. Say, oh, this sickness is killing me. Oh, this sickness is killing me. Oh, my father had this sickness. It runs in the family. I have it also, you know. Oh, no. It's just part and parcel of the family. I inherited it, you know. And then you want to be healed? No, you can't be healed that way. Because you are not speaking in faith. You are speaking in doubt. You are speaking in defeat. You are speaking accepting the situation. So you are not speaking to change the situation. You are speaking in agreement with the problem, agreeing that it runs in the family. Therefore, you have a right to get it too. That's not the way faith speaks. Remember, this woman for 12 years had been suffering and getting disappointment everywhere, but she wasn't speaking about the disappointment. She's speaking positively now and saying, I shall be healed. If I will get close enough and touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. That's how faith speaks. Faith does not speak negative words. It speaks positively because it is focused on Jesus. You see, when you keep your focus on Jesus, you speak according to the words of Jesus, no matter the situation, because you know Jesus never fails. You see, so don't speak about the sickness. Say to your neighbor, when you are sick, don't speak about the sickness. And don't speak about what the GP said. Instead, speak the words of Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter 5 verse 28. See, the woman said, when she had heard of Jesus, she said, what did she say? If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So you begin to say, the sickness that is in my body will not remain there, because Jesus heals me and I am whole by the stripes of Jesus. That's what you should be saying. Don't keep saying, well, this sickness has been there for long and it's just there, it runs in the family. No. Also, Luke chapter 18 verse 39, remember how blind Bartimaeus also began to declare and refused to stop speaking words of faith. Words of faith. Words of faith. That's the key. The words of faith in Jesus, the Messiah. You keep your focus on him. Also, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. See, their Bible talks about we should be diligent, you know, to ensure that we hold on to the full assurance of hope unto the very end. Don't start believing God and then give up when it seems it's taking long to get the result. You know, keep going in faith. Keep going. Keep your confidence and your assurance in God steadfast to the end. Hebrews chapter 10 also, verses 22 and 23. Exactly, that's what Bible says there. You know, we need to hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. We need to hold on to the promise of God and the full assurance of that faith unto the very end. Don't start, you know, believing and then give up along the way. And finally, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14, the Bible says that we are only made partakers of Christ if we hold our confidence in him steadfast to the end. So you have to be confident in Jesus Christ and never give up, because the faith you are living by is the faith of Jesus. And number three thing that we see with the genuine faith that Jesus commended, you know, from that woman, is that the faith will act. It will take action. It will take action by showing a visible evidence of faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the woman's faith is in Jesus. She heard of Jesus alone. She spoke word of faith concerning Jesus, that if I may touch the clothes of Jesus, I shall be made whole. And now she's acting, finally, taking a step of faith to act and make Jesus see her faith, so to say. Because here, she touches Jesus. She didn't just say, well, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And then she sits down where she is. And she's saying, well, you know, I'm just an unclean woman. I can't go out of the house. I'm just an unclean woman. I can't go to where Jesus is. But, you know, I have faith in Jesus. Well, if you have faith in Jesus, then you have to show it by your works. You have to take practical steps that will make Jesus to see your faith. That was what those friends did in Luke chapter 5. You know, how they brought the paralyzed friends, and Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he saw the evidence of their faith, because faith without works is dead, being alone. Mark chapter 5 verse 27. So again, the woman, when she had heard of Jesus, she said, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she left her house and went after Jesus. So she acted upon the faith that she had in her heart. And like I said, Luke chapter 5 verses 19 and 20, those friends would not, you know, be turned back because they couldn't find a way in. They went to the roof and removed the tiles and lowered their friend in. And verse 20 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven you, and eventually healed him. James chapter 2, let's turn there as we close. James chapter 2, this is the key to our walk of faith. Don't ever think that you can just have faith in your heart. You know, some of us say, well, I believe God in my heart. God can see my heart that I have faith. Well, he can see your heart that you have faith, but he wants you also to show him in the physical what you have in your heart toward him. You see? Why? Because faith has to be backed up with corresponding action. We are living in a physical world, and that evidence in this realm of the physical gives God the room to do something for you without anyone accusing him of being partial. You know, God is a God that is consistent in his ways. If you really, really, really genuinely have faith in your heart, your action will back up what is in your heart. If I believe with my heart, but my action does not match what is in my heart, then that becomes hypocrisy. So if I believe that God gives me the victory in this situation, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Everybody that sees me will not see me worrying about it anymore. Because if I say I believe, God will help me, and I'm still full of worry, something is wrong with my believing. My believing does not match my action. So that is not genuine faith. As far as God is concerned, that's hypocrisy. Because a believer that believes God will take care of their problem will not worry about that problem anymore. Because they already believe that God is in control. So they can go to sleep and sleep like babies and let God do the work in due season. That's the key. Bible says when we are in faith, we enter into rest. We cease from our own works. So if we are still full of our own works, then we are not in faith. What we need now is the work of faith itself in us by the Holy Spirit, who has assured our hearts, now helping us to do exactly what the word of God says about the situation. Then it becomes the work of faith rather than our own works or human effort to try to get God to do something for us. Now in James chapter 2, we'll just pick a few verses. I will encourage you, please read the whole chapter and get your faith fine-tuned again. Verse 14, first and foremost, says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? In other words, the man that has faith has to show his faith by his action to get the salvation that he needs. And then he goes on to explain, you know, that with many other examples that are written in the Bible. Now let's drop down also to verse 18. Please read the whole chapter. You can get it in context later. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, there is no point separating the work of faith from the belief of faith. The two must go together. That's what he's saying. So don't say, well, I believe God in my heart. I have faith in my heart. And then someone says, well, I have the work of faith here, but how about the heart now? So the heart and the evidence of action must match each other. That's what he's saying here. So I will show you my faith by my works. My faith you will be able to see by the action, the attitude that I show in the physical. So if I'm trusting God for something, then you see me that I'm not worried about that thing anymore. Hallelujah. So that is the action that you see. Now let's just look at verse 22. Seest thou our faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Hallelujah. And then he gives us before that the example of our father Abraham. When God told him to offer Isaac, you know, he didn't just sit there and say, well, yeah, I believe God. I believe God can bring back Isaac, you know, from the dead. Okay, I offer him in the spirit. No. He took the boy. He acted upon the word of God, took everything for burnt sacrifice, and went on a journey to where God says he should go. And he actually tied up the boy and took the knife, and he was about to do exactly what God said to do before God says, "Now I see. I see. I see that you have not withheld your son from me. I see your work of faith. I'm very pleased with you, Abraham." See, if we believe God, let us show our belief by our attitude. Don't sit up all day long worrying about your situation, and yet you say you believe God will help you. Now, that is not faith. That's not genuine. God will not accept that from any of us. If you believe, you rest in God. Say to your neighbor, trust in God with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith, and he cannot fail you. Trust in him and rely on him alone, and you will see his faithfulness in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn now to Isaiah. We are going to receive the elements of communion in a short while. But let us use this Isaiah to respond to what we have shared this morning. We hear, remember, the genuine faith hears of Jesus, the word of God, alone. It doesn't hear any other thing. It doesn't hear the feelings. It doesn't hear how I feel or what others are saying about my situation. It shuts its ears to all those. It doesn't hear the voice of the stranger. It only hears the voice of the good shepherd. That's where it begins from. Because if you are listening to Jesus and listening to another voice, you are not in faith. You are not in faith. That's not genuine faith. You have to hear Jesus alone. Forget about your own understanding. Forget about how you see the situation. Forget about how you feel. Forget about what anyone else has said about your circumstance. Just focus on Jesus alone. And hear from Jesus alone. And I tell you, Jesus will never tell you your situation is impossible. With God, all things are possible, you see. So you have to hear Jesus alone. And then secondly, you have to speak. You see, your mouth, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You have to speak only of Jesus alone. In other words, speak only of the word of God alone. Don't speak the problem you have. Speak what Jesus said about the problem. If you have sickness, don't speak the sickness, speak the healing. Healing belongs to you. You keep declaring, "By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Bless God, I am the redeemed of the Lord, I say so. Glory be to God in the highest. I'm free from sickness and disease." Someone says, "But you have sickness. How can you say you are free? If you are free, how come you still have it?" You see, that person is walking by sight. They are not walking by faith. If you are walking by faith, faith calleth the things that be not as though they were. Faith does not call the sickness. No, because that's not your portion. Faith calls the healing as though the healing was present right now. And so you keep declaring, "Praise God, I'm healed. Glory to God in the highest. I'm healed. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. I'm free from sickness and pain in Jesus' name." That's how faith speaks. Remember, the woman had the issue of blood and she's saying, "I shall be whole. I shall be whole." It's like that woman also whose son died of its stroke, and she just kept saying, "It is well. It is well. It is well. It is well." She could have been saying, "My boy is dead. Oh, my boy is dead. My boy is dead. My boy is dead." No, it is well. It is well. It is well. That's how faith speaks. It speaks positively because it's focused on Jesus, not the circumstance. And thirdly, it acts, you know, based on what it believes, taking action on the word of God according to how it is written. So let's individually allow this to register in our hearts. We all know the scripture. We memorized it. We all can quote it. But let us hear this scripture with a second hearing this morning, the hearing of the Spirit. And let the Holy Spirit release within us the kind of faith that makes us whole. faith will always make us whole when it is genuine. Let's read together first in agreement, verses 4 and 5. Let's go. Surely, he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. I want you to just focus on those two scriptures. Ask the Holy Spirit to help your heart to receive the truth and to settle it once and for all in your heart. No matter the sickness, the disease, the pain, or the trouble you have, Jesus paid the price for them all. He came to set us free. He came to release us from bondage to the corruption that the sin of Adam put us in. That's why the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, because he was made a curse for us. You know, as far as God is concerned, we are already free. Already free from sickness. Already free from disease. You see, because God is a God of faith. He doesn't walk by sight like you and I walk by sight. He doesn't walk by feelings like we walk by feelings and confess based on our feelings, confess based on what we see. No, he speaks according to what he has promised. When God saw Abraham as Abram, he didn't say, Abram, you are childless. He said, I have made you a father of many nations. When the man did not even have a child, he said, I have already made you a father of many nations. In other words, as far as I see you, Abraham, even though physically you don't have any child now, I see you as someone with many children. And Abraham had to change his confession too and agree with God for the promise to come to pass for him. So, let the truth register in your heart personally. Forget about everyone else here this morning. And see that Jesus was wounded for you personally. Jesus bore the chastisement of your peace personally. He carried your sickness and your pains personally. Therefore, any sickness or pain that you have in your body right now has no right to be there, because Jesus carried it already. And therefore, you are sure that what Jesus carried from you, you are free from it. And therefore, sickness and pain cannot remain in your body. In the name of Jesus, the days of the sickness and the pain are numbered. Because you are free. Jesus has set you free, and you are free indeed. And you are not going to abhor that sickness in your body the rest of your life. No way, no way, no way. The sickness has to go. The pain has to leave. Because Jesus carried it, and you are not going to take it back, because Jesus is not putting it back on you. And you are not going to allow the devil to afflict you with what Jesus set you free from. So you are calling on the name of Jesus to defeat the plans of the enemy. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. His name, through faith in his name. The same Jesus that carried the sickness and pain from you is here this morning to ensure that what he set you free from, you are free from it indeed. John chapter 8 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Indeed. We don't just want to have a mental knowledge of it. Well, Jesus bore my pain. He bore my sickness. With his stripes I'm healed. Well, we want to be healed indeed. And his power is present to make us whole. Just waiting for our faith to make the connection. The genuine faith. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. Everything to do with Jesus and the authority of his name. Sickness bows to the authority of the name of Jesus. chains bow to the authority of the name of Jesus.